McClain.
Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and wintry Monday alohas to you. You are just in time. We're about to wrap things up. This is the last hour of the show for Monday. We call it the bonus hour. And we do the same thing in this hour that we do in all the others. We converse with you about issues of importance today. Scrab the phone. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. My email address, bob@1063word.com. Bob's in on the text line. So heavy snow in 1930, 1971, and 2019. This is 2018. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves here. So I guess global warming, climate change happens every 40-something odd years. Bob, what was that biggest snowfall like? You were what, in your late 40s?
Wrong.
When I do remember Herbert Hoover was president, but no, I was not in my late 40s. I was only in my mid-teens at that point. Bob, I just saw the Chin on Channel 4 with a yellow vest on. I think he's going to riot. Bobby Mack, 12/3/1972. I'd lived in Greenville a month and have fond memories of the blizzard. Yep, the blizzard. You remember, the blizzard. I had a 1964 Corvair with snow tires. Got around just fine. Bob, one of our Wazers reports in, traffic spotter, tree down, Greenville County, Scuffletown Road, Horsepin Creek Bridge. Local traffic only, either side of the bridge. Gotcha. Bobby, who does your delightful little parody? So you're talking about the Christmas tree toupee and the Bobby Mack semi-professional players. That is a team of nondescript individuals who have very too much time on their hands and very little work. So we put them to work. So I mentioned before we went to the break for the news at the top of the hour, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, having retreated to the wine cellar over the weekend after the yellow-vested demonstrators did their best to burn down Gay Paris. Macron, his political career in peril. I wonder why they would say that, since his latest approval rating that I saw was 18%. And his country, engulfed in increasingly violent protests, pleaded with the country's employers Monday to give their workers a bonus and also promised a reduction in taxes in a bid to restore order after the demonstrations have deeply shaken the nation. They've been going on now for a month. In a pre-taped address broadcast on television, what, he pre-recorded his address in a bunker somewhere under a nondescript building in the middle of Versailles or somewhere. Macron criticized the inadmissible violence of the protest and promised to use all means to restore calm. Well, how's that been working out for him so far? When violence is unleashed, freedom stops, he said. Well, when taxation, purely designed to punish the citizens of a country because of the administration's belief in climate change, goes on, then you get these kind of demonstrations. The president of La Francais promised to speed up tax relief and urged companies to give bonuses to struggling workers by the end of the year. I would ask all employers who can pay an end-of-year bonus to their employees. So wait a second. This guy wants to raise the fuel tax and then to pacify the demonstrators who are raising all grades of hell over it. He asked private industry to embrace the suck, as they say, and take up the slack for his lack of leadership. Brilliant. Among his pledges today, Macron reiterated his promises to raise the minimum wage and abolish taxes on overtime pay starting January 1, several months ahead of schedule. He also said a tax hike that pensioners face would be scrapped. That'd be a good idea over here. Why is people's Social Security taxed? You already paid your taxes on that money. All the measures offered have been demanded by the yellow-vested protesters who have led 4 weeks of increasingly violent demonstrations against Macron's presidency, which is seen by demonstrators as favoring the rich. Macron acknowledged the anger and indignation among members of the public over the cost of living, but added no indulgence would be given to the people behind the protest violence. So on the one hand, he turns around and tries to throw them these bones, and then on the other says, but they're not going to be rewarded for what they did. Okay. The president said no anger justifies attacking police or looting stores, saying both actions threaten France's cherished liberty. Macron also spent today meeting with local and national political leaders, unions, and business leaders to hear their concerns after the protests that started in struggling provinces and spread to rioting in the capital. His speech to the nation came after Paris's chief prosecutor revealed yesterday that nearly 1,000 people were being held in custody after weekend protests in the capital city again turned violent. Well, apparently the guy got the message. Anyway, to the phones we go. Ron is a leadoff batter here in the bonus hour. He's in Fountain Inn. Hi, Ron, and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much on this beautiful sunny day. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I'm sorry. I got an email the other day that made me really do some thinking. The caravan that's coming up from Mexico, why in the world are they going to Tijuana when if they went to Brownsville, Texas, there'd be a lot less walking?
That's a good question. And I think
do you think it's because they're going to the land of the fruits and nuts in California and they might not be quite so welcome in Texas?
That certainly, I think, is one factor in the equation. The other is that they essentially go wherever their leftist leaders point them. And I think Tijuana is where they had wanted them to go because they'd planned some kind of mass charging the border at Tijuana. They have 26 lanes of traffic there, and I think they had planned on like storming them all at once with several thousand people, which of course they tried on a smaller scale and were repulsed, as they say.
Yeah, let's see how Trump handles that.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to be real happy.
And from what we hear, Ron, many of these people are now turning back and giving up.
I think that's a smart move.
I think so, too. I think so as well. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate the call. It's a good question. Quarter after six here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here. When we come right back on the other side, personal privacy. If you're involved in social networking, your personal privacy is pretty much non-existent. And now there are government officials who say, hey, look, something's got to be done. These people have got to be regulated. They're out of control. This and more is still on the way here on the Bobby Mack Show in the bonus hour. Be right back. Stay right where you are. Welcome back. Great to have you along here at 621, the Bobby Mack Show, from our Christmas Grinch file. What is up with this guy? A Somerville man charged with arson after police said he burned down the Christmas decorations in a suburban Charleston neighborhood. Authorities arrested Cameron Lewis Bawn, 29, after receiving a call Friday afternoon about a person setting fire to the property of multiple neighbors in the Arbor Walk community in Somerville. Police said bomb lit up a snowman decoration that it was in the front yard of a home. He was detained for burning Christmas decor at another home when officers arrived. Somerville Fire Rescue was also attempting to put out a house fire that Bond allegedly set. According to Somerville police, Bond is said to have busted a garage window trying to light a fire to the inside of another structure. Bond was not charged with grinchery, but I'm sure something substantially more serious than that. Although he obviously is somewhat grinchy. In on the text line, Bob, you forgot the key word again, you old geezer, eggnog, and Merry Christmas. Thank you. Yeah, no key word right now. Be back in January, I imagine. Bobby, the socialist Democrats in America should take a good look at France. That's where socialism takes a country. Better yet, take a good look at Venezuela. Bobby, as Charles de Gaulle famously said, how can you expect to govern a country with 256 different kinds of cheese? Good point. Bob, Macron hid in his wine cellar. Well, I just made that part up, but he was definitely AWOL over the entire weekend. Good. Now a leftist knows how Tucker Carlson's wife felt. Yeah, when the BLM or whichever group it was came trying to knock down his front door. Bob, maybe Macron and Theresa May can get a deal on a joint bunker condo. Yeah, she's in trouble too because she wants to water down Brexit, the exit of the UK from European Union. Bobby, Macaroon Le Buffoon needs to resign. It's no surprise he was endorsed by Barry. He's utterly and dangerously incompetent. Bobby, in 72, I worked for the railroad, was out in that snow all day. I thought I was going to freeze to death. I hear you. And now this business with Facebook and with Google, I saw just a headline earlier. Now I think the CEO it is of Google is saying, yeah, you know, we probably should be reined in some and have some governmental parameters controlling what we do. There's a reason, because the blowback is getting to them. Story today at Fox News. In 2010, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg's story was the stuff of Hollywood movies. The Social Network, about the website and its founder's meteoric rise, starred A-listers Jesse Eisenberg and Justin Timberlake, won an Oscar, and made almost $250 million in the U.S. alone. What a difference 8 years makes. Today, Zuckerberg is seen by many as a wincing, megalomaniacal multi-billionaire, and the personal data mining company he created is viewed by some as an existential threat to democracy itself. Lincoln Network President Aaron Ginn told Fox News, "It's been a sudden thing. These people are not the darlings anymore, and it's been hard for them to adapt. So they've made a lot of unforced errors." Mr. Ginn, who co-founded the Lincoln Network 5 years ago with the idea of helping technology and government work together to promote individual liberty and economic opportunity, added, "There are significant internal company responsibilities that I think Facebook executives have not lived up to. Indeed, in less than a decade, Zuckerberg has managed to enrage leaders on both sides of the aisle in the U.S. and around the world, as his social media network has emerged as a polarizing tool that can be politically weaponized amid concerns about algorithm issues, privacy, misinformation, and bias. Zuckerberg got too big for his hoodie." That's good. "Zuckerberg got too big for his hoodie, lost track of his responsibilities to Facebook users, advertisers, and employees," said Porter Bibb, who's obviously not a fan. Facebook's perceived threat has reached such a level that Damian Collins, chairman of the UK's Parliamentary Digital Culture, Media, and Sport Committee, recently took the extraordinary step of sending a sergeant-at-arms from the legislative body to use force to seize secret documents that could contain data about Facebook's privacy controls and potentially shady correspondence between Facebook's top executives. The documents, which are under seal in the U.S., are part of an ongoing lawsuit in California between Facebook and an app developer. Brits clearly think they're damaging, as the BBC described a sergeant-at-arms being sent to nab the documents as a highly unusual tactic that hasn't been employed in recent memory. Washington University professor Liberty Vittert wrote in a Fox News op-ed pegged to both the British lawmaker and the infamous Cambridge Analytica scandal, "Facebook is the villain and people know it. If the government doesn't get its act together and start creating and enforcing laws to regulate these powerful companies, we are in real trouble." And Facebook is not just getting attacked by conservatives. They're also being attacked by progressives because they used an organization that had requested an in-depth exam of the influence of George Soros on Facebook. And that got Facebook people all in a panic because Soros had shorted the stock of Facebook at some point. They're convinced that somehow the right used Facebook to win in 2016, and they want it reined in or destroyed before a repeat performance in 2020. While the folks behind TechWatch and Freedom from Facebook don't share ideologies, one is left and the other is right, the two groups seem to agree that Zuckerberg's company is causing people harm. DePauw University professor Jeffrey McCall said Americans have long suffered from the false notion that if something is technologically glitzy, it must necessarily be great. Legitimate concerns about the machinations behind the scenes at Facebook have surfaced, and it's clear that big tech is not promoting individual empowerment. So these guys are under the spotlight, and they're going to be more so. It's amazing, the growth. Okay, I think Facebook now has, 2 billion Facebook subscribers worldwide? 6:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. We go to the phones when I come back on the other side of the news here on the Snowy Monday edition on WORD. What? Welcome back. Closing half of the bonus hour here on the Monday edition at 6:38, 22 before 6. Thanks for patiently waiting. Ron in Spartanburg is next up here on this snowy Monday evening. Hi, Ron. How you doing tonight?
It's my pleasure. How you doing, brother? You being safe out there on these highways?
Yes, sir. And as far as how I'm doing, so far, so good.
Life is good, right?
You bet.
I want to talk about the hiring and firing that Trump does on a regular basis. But just previous before the commercial, you was talking about Facebook and so forth.
Right.
All the people there and so forth. I probably won't text you. I'm a new caller. I called you a couple of weeks ago for the first time.
Yes, sir.
And I am definitely the old school. I'm soon texting you before I text you if I can. And what I'm saying is, the computer age is real good, but it has its downfalls. And I've never thought for a minute that the computer age is good for a personal or political thing. And you see what's happening; it's getting worse as we go.
Well, and I don't know that it's the technology that should be blamed here, rather than the individuals who have perverted its use. Because when Facebook was designed, be able to trade pictures of your kids or cat videos or what have you. That's harmless stuff. And yet, when it's weaponized for politicians to use for their own nefarious ends, obviously, that's something else entirely.
Well, see, that's what I was saying about the computer age. That's what it's going to always be, no matter what. It's always going to be that way. So the supper times, even before I was born, I love black and white movies. I love movies from the 30s and the 40s.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff was, life was a little easier, I believe. It's just my opinion. But
yeah, I think you're right. I think it was.
Everybody's got that. But the hiring and firing that President Trump is doing, and like I told you what I called you, I've been a Democrat my whole life.
Yeah.
Never voted all the way for Democrat. But Trump is a beast at what he does. But if people would just slow down, and I don't hear the media talk about it a lot, but he has changed career fields. I mean, not just changed career fields, but went to the top of the peak.
Yep.
In a new career field where he's never been before. So the hiring and firing is going to happen the first few years because he's learning how to put people in these positions.
Yep.
By listening to other people, by his own instincts, which are very good, mind you.
Yep.
Let's see if the Nikki Haley's position is repeatedly every other year or every year or every 6 months. If he's got to hire this, then we can start worrying. But watch what he does his next 4 years, and he will do another 4 years. These people are not going to keep coming and going.
Well, and look at how many of his cabinet officers are still there. Dr. Ben Carson.
If you're not doing your job,
yeah,
he'll fire you.
Exactly.
He may call it a resignation to make it look pleasant to the media because he's that kind of guy. But I think about half these guys are now, if not more, yeah, he's fired them because they're not doing the job.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is. I think it is as simple as that. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate the call. I think when you boil it all down, it is as simple as that. If you're performing in your job, you're doing a good job, the president's going to commend you and keep you. And if you're not, see ya. Bye-bye. In on the text line, Bob, liberals think Facebook is favoring us. It takes about 3 days for most of Tara's posts to show up in my newsfeed. Yeah, no kidding. Bob, until our sorry government investigates the Clintons and Obama for their felonies, I don't want to hear anything about what President Trump may have done wrong. Thanks from Jeff. Oh, yeah, and Alan in Greer points out Social Security is not taxed when taken out of your pay. It is pre-tax dollars. The employer part is deducted as an expense to the business, hence the reason they tax it when it is given to you. Medicare is also pre-tax dollars. Bottom line, both systems, how should I say this, suck. Gotcha. Appreciate that. This may be an indication here. You're not going to hear this kind of stuff, of course, in mainstream media. But this was on a website called News Punch. And I came across an interesting quote from the Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel. She who must be obeyed, has admitted the New World Order is, her words, under threat due to the rise of President Trump and the trend of Trump-supporting populist leaders winning elections around the world in the past year. The German leader slammed the rejection of open borders and globalism and poured scorn on the patriotic movement currently sweeping across Europe, the United States, Brazil, Australia, and other parts of the world. Merkel said at Davos, Switzerland, and I'm quoting her, "Frankly speaking, the country I have the honor to represent and where I am chancellor has difficulties. And polarization is something that we see in our country as well, which we haven't had for decades." Says that Trump has almost destroyed the New World Order. Boy, that would be a shame, wouldn't it? Yeah. By the way, the Associated Press has released their college football All-American teams, and there is some good news for some Clemson Tigers in there, as expected. Here is Matt Napolitano at Fox News.
Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray highlights the first team All-American college football teams released on Monday by the Associated Press, but it's top-ranked Alabama, who provides four first-teamers and six All-Americans overall. Offensive lineman Jonah Williams, wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, safety Deontay Thompson, and defensive tackle Quinnen Williams representing the Tide on the first team. Among the other first-teamers of note, Clemson defensive lineman Clelin Ferrell and Christian Wilkins, Kentucky linebacker Josh Allen, Wisconsin running back Jonathan Taylor, and LSU linebacker Devin White. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
Thank you, Matt. Good news for the Tigers as they get ready for the college football playoffs. By the way, speaking of Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback who won the Heisman Trophy Saturday night, this just shows you these leftist trolls are just waiting, hiding in the weeds, waiting for your name to be in the news so they can use it to try and tear you down and bring attention to themselves. Hours after winning the Heisman Trophy, several of his old tweets surfaced on Twitter. And he apologized in the early hours of Sunday morning. Murray, now the latest athlete to have old, racist, homophobic, or offensive tweets resurface. And I think, how old was he when these tweets came out? 14 and 15, yeah. When he was 14 and 15 years old. God, these people have no shame. They're obviously looking for any way they can to springboard into the headlines and draw attention to themselves. And they're willing to use whatever lame evidence they can to do it. 14 before 7 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back. Ah, yes. Tutus everywhere. Little nutcracker. A little sound of the season for you here on the Bobby Mack Show. 6:51 now, 9 before 7 o'clock. In on the text line. Bob, when German chancellors start talking about the New World Order, I get a case of Montezuma's revenge, if you catch my drift. I think I do. I think I understand exactly what you're saying. Bobby, traveling Highway 25 in the Piedmont area this evening has some slick spots. Yeah, and I suspect that we will see substantially more of those as the overnight hours progress, because the skies are going to be clearing, and when they do, then we get radiational cooling. Whatever heat has been stored up in the earth during the daytime, and it hadn't been much today, is going to escape into the atmosphere, and we'll be down, what, 20s all over the place tonight? So a lot of this stuff, obviously, is going to refreeze. So caution if you have to be out driving tonight, and especially early in the morning tomorrow, because now that we're back on standard time. Sun, what time does the sun come up in the morning during standard time, Moneypenny?
9:05.
Gotcha. Thank you. So, be a while in the morning commute. It's not quite that bad, but almost. All right, here we go. We have time remaining today, just enough time, I believe, for today's five facts.
And now it's time for
five
random
facts.
One for each finger. Yep, here we go. Five random for this snowy Monday. Netflix, we are talking about the web. Netflix is now 15%. Of web traffic worldwide. To give you a basis for comparison, general web browsing is only 17%. Wow. 1 million seconds ago, it was November 28th. 1 billion seconds ago, it was 1987. And 1 trillion seconds ago, it was roughly 30,000 B.C. An American Tale was the first animated movie to make more money than a competing Disney film. When it came out in 1986, about 1 billion seconds ago, it made almost twice as much money as Disney's The Great Mouse Detective. I don't even remember that. Silence of the Lambs is technically a sequel. Manhunter is the first Hannibal Lecter movie. It only made about $8.5 million when it came out, and it didn't have Anthony Hopkins. It was remade as Red Dragon in 2002. Both of those are actually pretty good films, if you haven't seen it. And finally, if you fall from 48 feet or less, there is at least a 50-50 chance you will survive. 10% of people who fall from 84 feet survive. Of course, as you know, it's not necessarily the height. It's that sudden stop that does the damage. There you go.
This has been today's edition of...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Random.
Facts.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate that. By the way, before we depart today, I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but with all the turmoil in France that's going on over the increased gas tax and with the upset over Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, over Brexit, the international news has kind of overlooked what is going on in South Africa. The country's National Assembly has approved a proposal to change the Constitution to make the so-called reforms legal in a vote of 183-77. What does this do? This paves the way for land to be taken from farmers without any kind of compensation. Now, lawmakers have agreed to set up a committee to write and introduce a new bill for land appropriations. A deadline of the end of March next year for the committee to present its report to Parliament has also been agreed. There were heated scenes in the House when politicians clashed over this. The president of South Africa has said to South African white farmers, your time is up. So, looks like headed for trouble over there as well. Thanks so much for being along this evening. Again, the caution about safe driving. I know you'll do that. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great Monday evening. God bless.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter,
every time we say goodbye,
goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Hello, I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.